Lord's Hill Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Today's topic is God, the Promise Keeper. Which is going to be, yeah. So our God is the Promise Keeper, and the passage is taken from 2 Peter 3:9, which we have just heard, but I'll read it again. It says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Amen? Amen. So, what is a promise? Media. So this is what I got for the definition of a promise. It is a declaration of affirmation that one will do or refrain from something specified. It could also be pledges or vows to family members, to friends, or even to ourselves that Anne has just read. We make promises and we break them easily. There are promises of commitment that entails trust and are legally binding. For example, contracts. Usually written agreements that are enforceable by law and must be honored by the parties involved. Now, honesty and integrity are required of everyone in our dealings with one another and also with God. So it's like horizontally and vertically. Hence, the well-known saying that don't make promises that you can't keep. The Bible says, "Do not be quick with your mouth or be hasty in your heart to utter anything before the Lord. For the Lord is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few. It is therefore better for us not to vow than to make vows that we cannot fulfill." And we can find this in Ecclesiastes 5:2-5. Our Heavenly Father is a promise keeper, as we have sung and heard this morning. He is not a man that he should lie or change his mind. The words that goes out of his mouth will not return to him void. It always accomplishes what he desires, and it achieves the purpose that he sent it. He said of himself in Malachi 3:6 that, "I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed." What a compassion. What a savior. God remains faithful even when we are faithless, for he cannot deny himself. In his farewell speech, Joshua reminded Israel of how every promise of Jehovah God has been fulfilled. He said, "You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises of the Lord your God gave you has failed." What a faithful God. God is good and compassionate to all he has made. He therefore requires us to be perfect as he is. He asked Abraham to walk before him and be perfect. Joshua to meditate on his word 24/7 and always observe everything written in it. He even chose us, you and me, in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. And he requires all men to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with him. yet man finds it almost impossible. I say almost impossible because in the Bible, there are people who the Bible describes as being blameless. So man finds it almost impossible to keep their promises. That is why the Bible says it is better to take refuge in the Lord rather than trusting in man, because the arm of flesh will always fail you. In Jeremiah 17:5, the Lord says, cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Our text today confirms that we have no contribution at all to our salvation. It is redemption by grace. For we all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. Yet, God still sent his son Jesus Christ to die for us. Because in our text, our God is patient with us and does not want anyone to perish, but every one of us to come to repentance. So, he fulfills his promise. It is written in Deuteronomy 7:9 that God is faithful, keeping his covenant of love to a thousandth generation of those who love him and keep his commandments. God made an everlasting covenant with Abraham and his seed in their generations, as written in Genesis 17:7. The Apostle Paul refers to this seed of Abraham as the Christ, apart from Isaac, who is the promised son. So now Jacob, who was Isaac's son and Abraham's grandson, became known as Israel after his fierce encounter with the Lord to bless him. And like Jabez, as we have heard from Pastor, Jacob's request was granted by God. In this case, God blesses us to be a blessing. So consequently, Jacob blessed all his children individually with specific and prophetic pronouncement upon their lives before his passing. This act itself fulfills God's promise to Abraham when he called him and said, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing. So in Genesis 49:10, Jacob blessed Judah, one of his sons, saying, the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until it comes to him it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. This is like a decree. It's not directly from God. It's a blessing from Jacob to Judah, but it's a decree, and the Bible says, decree a thing, and it shall be established. So, being blessed, Jacob became a blessing and authored this decree, and God honored it. So this declaration means the royal authority to rule a nation would always be with Judah until the Messiah comes. However, through disobedience and the sins of God's chosen people, this pronouncement and other prophecies concerning Israel as a sovereign nation was weakened for a long time. It was weakened in the physical, but did not disappear spiritually. It was only Friday. Sunday was coming. Hallelujah. For a while, the Sanhedrin became the ruling power over Israel, and Herod was referred to as King of the Jews, even though he wasn't a Jew. But God's redemption plan for the world was imminent. This plan was already in place before the foundations of the world. They are divine truth concerning our physical, mental, and spiritual well-being, concerning our security and for everlasting life in Christ Jesus. So, in order to reconcile mankind to himself and have that close relationship with us, God fulfilled his promise in Malachi 4:6 that says, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. This came to fruition with the birth of John the Baptist, who came to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. John the Baptist was born to Zechariah and Elizabeth, who the Bible described as upright in the sight of the Lord, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. This is the likes of Job. These are the people that the Bible described as being blameless. And when I read this, I went, oh, wow. So we can make it. We will try. So no wonder John the Baptist was very intense and compelling in his preaching, because he saw his own parents as role models of obedience. John preached repentance of sins and baptized as a commitment for the remission of sins, then practically urged the people to live by the book. His ministry was to prepare the hearts and minds of a people, as described in 1 Peter 2:9 and Luke 1:16-17, for the coming of the Messiah. And in order to accomplish his will of not wanting anyone to perish, God fulfilled yet another promise in the book of Isaiah 53 by sacrificing his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to give us access to the throne of grace, where we receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. In his goodness, God demonstrated such mercy, grace, and loving kindness by adopting all of us sitting here and hearing to himself. He adopted us and made us the beneficiaries of his kingdom and heirs with Christ. And now he is assuring you that all things are yours, because all the promises for you in the Bible are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The love of God is totally unconditional, because he causes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. But his promises to us are both conditional and unconditional. And with the conditional, we can find example in Deuteronomy 28:1-14. That is the conditional promises of God. And the unconditional is linked to today's text, that Christ, we were promised that Christ is coming, and then he would die. He died as promised. Christ, we were promised that he will come out of the grave, and he did victoriously, as we have already celebrated. And we believe in the promise that Christ will come again, which we profess here in PHBC at communion table, that Christ has died, Christ rose, and Christ will come again. Hallelujah. So, how do we claim the promises of God? It is God's desire to divinely connect with us and cause us to flourish as the branches of the true vine. He does not force his will on anyone. His invitation for you to draw near to him is clear and readily available, as promised in Matthew 7:7-8. It says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And he who knocks, the door will be opened. Are you ready, PHBC, to connect? Are you ready to claim, to receive, and to maintain the blessings that your Heavenly Father has in store for you? The curtain is torn, as we sang already, with free access to the throne of grace. Therefore, enter in boldly with an attitude of obedience, with your prayer, your worship, and your praise, and you will find God. So these are the keys: your obedience, your prayer, your worship, and your praise. So with obedience, the biblical obedience to God is to hear him, trust, submit, and surrender to God and his word. To hear God and his word grows your faith, as faith comes by hearing the word of God. And it's impossible to please God without faith. Trusting God with all your heart and not leaning on your own understanding is an act of obedience to God. Submitting to his sovereignty and totally surrendering to him are all acts of your obedience. So Jesus said in John 14:23, that anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make a home with him. What more can you ask if the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords lives with you? The next one is prayer. The Bible said we should pray without ceasing, and pray the will of God, as we have been reminded of and equipped to do for the past 6 weeks here in Poland, through the powerful prayers of Jonah, Hannah, David, Jabez, and our Lord Jesus as guidelines. The Lord is calling you to come and lay it all down again. And he will listen to you and give you rest. And as you are resting, he will also show you great and mighty things of the future that you do not know. So, having taken your stand in prayer, stand on every promise of God that speaks about your situation. Personalize it and pray it in the mighty name of Jesus. For all scripture is given by inspiration of God's Spirit of truth, wisdom, and revelation in the knowledge of him. The scripture says, we overcome by the blood of Jesus and by the word of our testimony. And even when we don't know what to pray, God promises that the Holy Spirit takes over and does it perfectly for us. Amen. Also, let us pray for one another, for we cannot make it on our own. Jesus prayed for Simon Peter that his faith may not fail when Satan requested to sift him as wheat. In other words, to separate him from the Lord. Jesus further encouraged Peter to strengthen the brethren when he is going through the test. And he, Jesus, is even now in heaven interceding for us in prayer. What a privilege. So let us pray for one another, and let us pray especially for our pastor, for the shepherd of the flock is always the prime target of the enemy. Also, let us pray for the leadership and all the decision-making body of this church and the church of Christ as a whole. For the prayer of the righteous is said to be powerful and effective in Jesus' name. It is written in Acts 19:20 that the city of Ephesus so mightily grew the word of God and they prevailed. May our prayers cause us to prevail in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So our next key is praise. You know what? The prince of this world will never bother you when you are in his camp, until you make that life-changing decision of submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. This golden decision effectively enlists you into a divine ongoing battle with the world. Satan will even go the extra mile to ask for permission from God so that he can torment you like he did Job, or sift you like wheat, as he planned for Simon Peter. But fear not, and be of good courage, because the Lord God Almighty, the Lord strong and mighty in battle, has already claimed the ownership of every battle that the enemy would dare to engage you in. He has overcome the world for you. Amen. The King of Glory promises once again to inhabit our praises, and this is how we invite him to take absolute control of the battles. Only take your position on your knees with your hands lifted up and your mouth shouting your hallelujahs. You know, the kind of hallelujahs that brought the Jericho wall down. And to physically sing and shout your hallelujah. And the Lord says he will be with you. Even when you are physically weak, the Lord says he has ordained praises from the lips of children and infants because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger on your behalf. Amen. So that takes us to the next one, worship. God is a spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Worshiping God is showing him love, honor, and adoration. David's heart always desires to worship the Lord. And he said, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you. Remember the song? You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit lean. You alone are my heart desire, and I long to worship you. Hallelujah. Yes. Start your day with the Lord and keep him at the helm of affairs, all your affairs, as your act of worship with thanksgiving in all situations. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen. So in conclusion, our Heavenly Father is the great I am. And because of this, he will be anything that you need him to be, according to his will and by your faith. His promises are available to us all, and he is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. His promise is to answer us. It's clear. He said, I will answer you before you call me. So let us take him at his word and draw closer to him, and he will draw closer to us. Let us hold fast to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful to keep that which we have committed to him until it is accomplished. God bless you all.
We trust that you have been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you have heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.